In Luke chapter 16 this evening, and you probably know the verse I'm after. I've started several sermons over the last 29 years in verse 15. I want to read this one verse just as a springboard to step into our message tonight. And our message is going to be titled, Country Music, A Cesspool of Filth. And I basically have 3 points. I'm going to speak to you briefly about the history of country music. And then number 2, the danger of country music. And number 3, the false gospel of country music. Now, you're going to be saying here tonight, why would you want to preach on this? No one in this church listens to country music. There's several reasons, because many today believe that it is an alternative to rock and rap and pop and other types of music. And I want you to see tonight that it is not. So maybe we can be a help to others who believe that country music is okay. And it is still very popular. I'm going to show you in a moment the popularity of country music. You'd think because of all the other music that it'd be fading by the side, but it is not fading away. It is growing in popularity, and I just want to say to you tonight, country music is of the devil. Whether 80 years ago or today, it is of the devil. You notice with me as we read in verse 15, he says here in verse 15, the Lord says, He said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now after that last part of that verse, where he says that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Father, we thank you tonight for the great privilege you've given us again to assemble together. We ask tonight your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Scripture. We pray, God, that you again meet with us in a very special way tonight, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen, and you may be seated. Now, this will be number 11 in the music series that we started about 3 years ago, and we've preached a number of different messages. We've dealt with sacred music, psalm singing, we've dealt with congregational singing, a cappella singing, classical music, Beatles, CCM, Southern Gospel, and also our last message I believe that we preached on was titled Beethoven. Now, as we come here, notice again, let me read this and we're going to turn to Ephesians 5. He says here in verse 15, the latter part, he says, For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Country music is an abomination in the sight of God in the fact that it is highly esteemed among the world, especially in America. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. And I got several verses we're going to consider tonight. I've got some quotes here from some of the artists themselves. And also, we're going to be considering just some things about it. Again, the history, the danger, and the false gospel. You'll notice with me as we come to Ephesians 5, I want to be reading verses 10 through verse 12 to start with. Then we're going to drop down and read verse 19. Notice as we come to this passage. Now, many today would ask us, even in the religious world, they'd ask us what's wrong with country music, and that's the wrong question. We need to ask the question, what is right with country music? And, of course, when you study it out and consider it, you'll find that there's nothing right about it. I was raised in it, and I know a lot about it as far as many years ago. I'm out of touch. I had to go and do some research on some current authors and artists and whatever, and I'll give you a list of just a few names here in a moment. But notice in Ephesians chapter 5, we have these words in verse 10. The Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, he said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, I want you to notice we're to prove all things by the Word of God. He says, verse 11, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So we're to test everything with the Word of God. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to reprove them, that is, speak out against them. He said, It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And then we're told to be filled with the Spirit of God in verse 18. And then in verse 19, we find that he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. These are the type of songs that you and I are to sing. And we're to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now notice with me as we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and let me read just a few verses from here also. Now first of all, tonight, the history of country music. It's been around near 100 years in America, and it's very popular, as I said a moment ago, and I'm going to give you some stats on that in just a moment. Now I'm going to go through, I've picked out a few names, and some of these names will carry you back 40 and 50 and 60 years, and then some of these names are recent, and so I'm just going to give you a list of a few names, and these are just a few out of thousands that are involved in the country music industry. You've got people, and I'm going to give some quotes by just a few of those in their music here in a few moments. But you've got people like, this will be the last, 40, 50, 60 years. And like Tammy Wynette and Tanya Tucker, Roy Acuff, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. Now some of these names you may have never heard of. But I'll get down to a few that you may have. And Al Dexter, Ernest Tubb, Carl Perkins, Eddie Arnold, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, that rings a bell, don't it? They were country music singers. Elvis Presley also sang country music as well as gospel and rock. Tennessee Ernie Ford, Conway Twitty, Bill Anderson, George Jones. A lot of these were big stars when I was growing up. Mickey Gilley, Buck Owens, Porter Wagoner, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, and Hank Williams. Now, here's, if I go on with this, you got Hank Williams Jr. today, and also Hank Williams III. You got groups like Alabama, the Dixie Chicks, Sugar Land, Toby Keith, Keith Urban, Taylor Swift, Charlie Daniels, Rita McIntyre, Garth Brooks, Faith Hill, Clay Walker, Jeff Bridges and Brad Paisley, Billy Ray Cyrus, of course, Merle Haggard fits a little bit. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he had fit back there a few years back. The Judds, George Strait, Trace Adkins, and Ricky Skaggs. And these are just a few of some of the artists in, we'll just say, in the last, 60 years. Now, when you talk about the popularity of country music, this is a quote by another preacher. Actually, this is a quote by David Cloud. And I think he's quoting from a particular magazine. And it says here, country music has hit the big time. It has become the most popular radio format in America, reaching 77.3 million adults, almost 40% of the adult population every week. Since 1989, country record sales have nearly doubled from 921 million to over 1.758 billion. That's absolutely amazing. Again, you'd think over the years as new music comes along, the rock and the pop and the rap and all the other stuff goes that once some would fade out. But country music has been here to stay and it is very popular. Some years ago, I was on a mission trip in Monterrey, Mexico, walking through a market. And as we were walking through the market, there were three of us. They started playing Sweet Home Alabama. And I don't know whether they saw our car tag or whether they just loved the music, but it was in English and they speak Spanish. And so maybe it was for our benefit or whatever, but wherever you go in the world, you can find country music that has been produced here in America. Now, the history of country music, it began in the southern states around the 1920s and has continually gained popularity ever since. I'm surprised that Yankees will even listen to country music because it's most of it's about the South and Dixie and things of that nature. And so I'm surprised that people in other places even listen to it, because sometimes some of the country music is critical of some of the other places around the country and other places in the world. The Grand Ole Opry, Nashville, Tennessee, has been the center of country music for many years. Now, country music has many names. There's many different styles and artists and so forth. There's a blending together between country and western and hillbilly music, as it was called at one time. And it's also called honky-tonk music, and it's got some other names. But again, it's been around for a long time. And much of country and rock crosses the boundaries with each other. If you've ever listened to any in the past, you know that to be true. Now, I want you to notice, as we turn here to Ephesians chapter 4, and let me read just a couple of verses, and I'm going to give you chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, if you're taking notes tonight, because this also deals with the sinful nature of man. Now, we're talking about the history, and I want you to notice that as we consider this tonight, that country music is sinful, it's of the devil, and it appeals to the sinful Adamic nature in man. That's the reason that people like it. And we find here that in verse 17 in this passage, and by the way, you cannot go eat or shop anymore without hearing country or rock and roll music. Just about anywhere you go, any restaurant, any shopping mall, anywhere you go, you've got this filth going. And any movies, thank God we don't watch movies, but any movies, and even in some Christian movies, we find that it is filled with rock and roll and also country music. The Bible said here in verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk," notice, "in the vanity of their mind." Now notice the description of the lost man or woman. He says, having, verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness," that is looseness, "to work all uncleanness with greediness." They are past feeling, in other words, they are not responsive to the things of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. We see a description of the lost man and the depraved human nature. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and notice here. We're going to talk about, number 2, the danger of country music. It is not a safe alternative to other secular music, as many people believe that it is. I've seen many of a professing Christian, and I use those two words together, don't know whether they're saved or not, but many professing Christians who have been ruined through, yes, country music, not rock and roll, not rap, but country music. Two in particular was a preacher's son, but they promoted him to the son to play this music and whatever, and he literally was ruined because of it. I have another preacher friend of mine that had a young man in his church that was very talented, and the family actually carried him around the country to Nashville and different places like that, and it ruined the man. It ruined the young boy. I ended up preaching to him in a rescue mission some years after that. And so this music is very wicked, and it's destroyed many lives, and as you're going to see here as we get into this. Now, returning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and again, we are not to take this music lightly. It is not a safe alternative. Now, the deception in country music, now I want you to understand that country music is far more than, you know, trains and trucks and tractors and mamas and dogs and all these kind of, it's far more than that. You see, the deception in country music, and years ago when I was around it and grew up around it, the deception was is that, well, it speaks of patriotism. It speaks of country. It speaks of God. Oh, they do. And it speaks of, faith, and it speaks of work, and it speaks of life, and it speaks of pain and laughter, and all these kind of things. It deals with things in life. And you will find God in the Bible and faith and Jesus filtered all through. Even country music today, you'll find those things in it. But when you sit down, as I have done recently, and took the words of songs, and I have a list here in my hand, I'll not read all of these, but when you take and analyze the words that are in the song, the lyrics, you get to understand a person's belief system. When I stand up and preach to you, or we sing, we get an idea about what we believe, do we not? By listening to the words that come out of our mouth, we find out what is in the heart of an individual. And so all you got to do is read the words of some of these songs to really know what is in the heart of the individual. And not only is the words important, you got the beat and the rhythm. That's a factor that must be considered. You got the movements, the crowds, the fans that follow them. And you got the artists who are turned into idols. All of these things have to be taken into account. And so my point is that country music is very dangerous because it glorifies sin. Please understand that tonight. There is carnality. There is worldliness, cheating, immorality, drunkenness, drugs, nudity, sodomy, covetousness, feminism, smut, jesting. All these things are in the lies and in the songs of country music and country artists. I mean, this is their lives. I'm going to give you some examples in just a moment. People become addicted to country music as they do to rock or rap or anything else because there is an unclean spirits that are associated with it. And so people become addicted. When we come to the issue of divorce alone in our country, country music is one of the major causes of divorce in the United States. Country music and divorce go hand in hand. And I'm not talking about the new country music. I'm talking, you go all the way back to Hank Williams and Tammy Wynette, all of these, Loretta Lynn, all of these, you go all the way back there, and they're singing about cheating and drinking, I mean 50 and 60 and 70 years ago. Now, notice with me as we come to this passage, and I'm going to be reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to take into account Psalms 119, verse 54. And it says, "Thy statutes have been my songs." Now what does that mean? What is the writer saying? Well, my songs are about truth and righteousness and holiness and God's commandments and God's Word. Amen? That's what the writer is saying. He's saying, these are my songs. But what about the songs of the fools? Well, that's what we're talking about tonight, is the songs of fools. You'll notice with me as we come to verse 9 and verse 10. He says in verse 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Now notice some of the things we're going to read here make up country music. He says here, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." We look into the lies, the godless lies of country music stars. And then we read the words of their songs. And we listen to the beat of their music. And we see that many of them will not get into the kingdom of God. Because many of them are adulterers and fornicators and drunks and so forth. And God says they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now in verse 11, he said, "And such were some of you." Notice he said, "And such were some of you, but you're not that way anymore." Amen? You know, we came out of the world. And we may fit into some of this category at some one time, but not anymore. He said, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So he's saying, here's the way you were, now this is the way you are. And so there's a change to repentance and faith. And then in verse 18 and 19, he says, "Flee fornication. Is this not what country music glorifies? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Well, country music, in much of the case, glorifies most of it. Maybe not all, but most of it glorifies fornication. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says at verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Turn to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, and notice here. Book of James chapter 4, we're going to read just one verse from this particular chapter. And we're going to read in verse 4. Now, I'm just laying a foundation. What are the dangers of country music? I've got a couple of quotes here. And I've got one list here, and I'm not going to read all this off to you. It's April the 20th, 2008. And this had to do with beer and whiskey songs. You see, you can see from the pulpit this list here. It's actually talking about songs that are titled, you know, dealing with beer and dealing with whiskey. Some of the songs here, Whiskey Won the Battle, Whiskey Lullaby, Whiskey Under the Bridge, Whiskey Do My Talking, Tennessee Whiskey, Drinking Dark Whiskey, Whiskey Trip. There's a place in the whiskey. Hank Williams Jr. here, Whiskey Ben and Hell Bound, Whiskey Chasing, and this thing goes on and on. And then about the beer. You know, talking about beer runs, long neck bottles, pop a top and take off this pain, taking off rather this pain. And some of these artists, if I have mentioned their names, you would at least recognize some of them because you probably know people that listen to some of this. And then another article that I picked up in my study for this. This is written July the 8th, 2011. And it says the Boot Online Magazine voted on the top 20 drinking songs. This gives a crystal clear look at the character of country music and how drinking is glorified. Now listen to this. Here's just a few of them. It says one here is Whiskey River by Willie Nelson, 1973. And here's some of the lyrics. He said, Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torment me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I've got. Take care of me. Another one by Garth Brooks, 1990, Friends in Low Places. I happened to hear this song a couple of years ago in a store here in town. And I just stopped and listened to a few words of that. But listen to this. He says, here's some of the lyrics. I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away and I'll be okay. Here's another, 1984, All My Rowdy Friends by Hank Williams Jr. Do you want a drink? Do you want a party? I cooked a pig in the ground. We got some beer on ice and all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Here's another by George Jones and Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, 1970, titled, I Gotta Get Drunk. And some of the lyrics are, a lot of doctors tell me that I'd better start slowing it down, but there's more old drunks than there are old doctors, so I guess we had better have another round. And this thing goes on and on. And see, what it is, it's a glorification of drinking and immorality, fornication and adultery. And that's why I titled this second point, the dangers of country music. This is what it's all about. Oh yeah, they throw mama in there, and they throw getting out of prison in there, and my pickup truck, and you know, and they throw a little Bible in there, and a little Jesus in there from time to time. But the bottom line is, it glorifies sin. It glorifies sin. Well, notice as we come to James chapter 4, now I challenge you right down James 3 verses 9 and 10, where it says, blessings and cursings should not come out of the same mouth. But in James 4 and verse 4, he says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Cannot have it both ways. It's either one or the other. We're either a friend of God or either we're an enemy of God. That's the bottom line. Philippians chapter 4, and notice here. I believe that many artists have sold their soul to the devil in order to get fame and fortune. And not only that, we're going to see that many of even the country music stars promote sodomy and feminism. Loretta Lynn, Reba McEntire, both spoke for feminists in the 1960s and 70s, many years ago. So we're talking about feminism, sodomy, adultery, drinking, drugs, and all of these things, and this is what country music is all about. Now notice as we come here to this passage, and I'm going to be reading in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to take one verse here in this chapter. You see, and I've mentioned this to you before in other sermons, I grew up in eastern Tennessee. And Hee Haw in our home was watched religiously every week. And I'm going to say something about Hee Haw in just a moment. But every Friday night and Saturday night, I'm not going to say every, but most Friday nights and Saturday nights, I was at a jamboree. Country music. My dad played in a band. My brother also played in a band at that time. And so we were at these places on a regular basis. And we saw many of the music stars. I mean, some of these places would bring in people from Nashville and other places around the country. And they'd have a lot of locals sing. Then they'd have one star, you know, to show up. Because that is what drew the crowd. Several hundred people come out. And so we were around this. And we grew up around this. I mean, I'm talking about on a weekly basis. It was in our home. This is what we heard and whatever. This is what we saw. And so I got to see firsthand the immorality, the drunkenness, the wickedness, and all of this that's associated with country music. As a matter of fact, I remember my dad taking me to at least two drive-in movies. The first one was Old Yaller. The second one was The Life Story of Hank Williams. And I mean, that's the second movie that I ever saw. And God help us. But anyway, that's just the life that we grew up in, you know, there at that time. Now, again, you say, what is the problem? What is the problem with country music? Well, the biggest problem is you can hear and understand the words. Amen? You don't need no backward masking. You don't need no philosopher to sit down and try to figure out. You know, I mean, they're still trying to figure out what Stairway to Heaven means by Led Zeppelin. You know, still, you know, people still trying to figure that thing out. But let me tell you some of the country music. No, it's very easy to figure out. Very plain and very simple. I'm going to read some words to you in just a moment. The problem with the young people today and the young people's music is the old people and the old people's music. That is the problem. Many of our heroes in our society is music artists. And I'm telling you, country music is not just about life and things country. Now notice as we come here to Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 8, many of you have put this to memory. He says here in verse 8, he said, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became..." No, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter, I'm sorry. Philippians 4:8. I'm reading in chapter 2. I'm looking at three different verses. I'm only going to give you one. But notice in verse 8, now he said, "Finally, brethren..." Pay attention to this now. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," he said, "think on these things." You cannot think on these things and listen to country music. You cannot think on these things and listen to any secular music. It will not work. You cannot mix the two together. Now turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 2. I was going to read another verse there in Philippians, but I'm going to go into the book of Titus. I want to make sure I don't run out of time. Now, notice in Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11. Now, the third and last thing, we're going to spend the most time on this. Third and last thing is the false gospel of country music. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the honky-tonk gospel, you know, that is presented in country music. And by the way, I preached a message here a year or two ago titled Southern Gospel Music. There's little difference between Southern gospel music and country music. The difference is the words. And this is why that the same people can go out and to the shows and whatever, and the jamborees, and listen to the country music on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday morning where the Southern gospel music is played and feel right at home in either place. Many professing Christians have the same religion. Now listen to me. Many professing Christians have the same religion and the same gospel as the country music stars. Now I want you to see tonight, it's not the gospel and the Word of God. Many have the same gospel. A little Jesus and a whole lot of world. That's exactly what it's all about. Now, notice with me as we come here to the book of Titus, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 2. Let me go ahead and just take at least two different examples, because I've got several here. Let me take at least two. If you're taking notes tonight, write down Ecclesiastes 7:5. It mentions it's called the Songs of Fools. The Songs of Fools. George Strait, in 2005, album Somewhere Down in Texas, has a song in it that's titled You'll Be There. He speaks of a way of getting into heaven apart from being born again, asking someone up there to put a good word in for him. Now, you and I know that nobody up there can put a good word in for you. Must be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. The song now, this song by George Strait, is now sung on many Christian radio stations. I'm telling you, there's a false gospel. A lot of things are blended together. There's no separation. And Strait's other songs on this album glorifies sexual immorality. See, mixing Jesus together with a little world, a little drinking, a little fornicating, a little adultery, a little drugs, just mixing all this together. We don't find that in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't find that at all. Hee-haw, I mentioned a moment ago, grew up watching this weekly TV program. I didn't know any better. Wasn't saved. Folks in the house wasn't saved. And so we grew up with these kind of things. It was a godless weekly TV program. We didn't know that then. We thought it was nice. We thought it was funny. We thought it was very entertaining. And toward the end of every weekly program, guess what they did? All the people gathered around and they sang a good old gospel hymn. Now, this hee-haw, I started asking how many have ever seen it, reruns. Have you seen it? Okay. All right. Be honest. Okay, you've seen it. If you will remember, if you've ever seen this, many of you have seen it. You will remember that there's half-naked women in it. Amen? I mean, probably three-quarters naked. Maybe 90% naked, usually sitting or laying in suggestive positions. There's filthy jokes in hee-haw, and men and women always flirting. Now I'm going to give you a quote from another author. Now listen to this carefully. He said, reprobate Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner even made guest appearances on the show. I don't ever remember that. Wouldn't have known him anyway. Except the producer of hee-haw was godless heathens who exploited Christianity to boost their ratings and corrupted society. To no surprise, some of the women who posed on hee-haw have been featured in Playboy magazine. All of that was blended together. We didn't know that. See, we grew up as pagans and heathens. We didn't know that. We just thought it was just entertainment. It's what's wrong with the world today. Now, as I turn to this passage, I'm going to be reading here, and I'm going to give you a couple other verses to go with this, because we're going to be talking about the grace of God. In Jude 3, we're not going to turn there, but in Jude 3 it says, the ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That is looseness. And then in 1 John 2:4, listen to this, says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. I didn't say that. God, through the Holy Spirit, said that. If any man says, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now, we didn't make that up. We would have probably never put that in the Bible. But God said it. And so, those who claim to know Jesus Christ and keep not His commandments, trying to walk and follow Him, they are liars and the truth of God is not in them. The Holy Spirit is not in them. Now, that's important. Now, notice as we come here, and I'm going to be reading from verse 11. I want you to see that the grace of God by which we're saved teaches us about holiness and separation. Watch this carefully as we come in. By the way, let me just say this before I read. I know of many that go to Branson, is it Missouri? Okay, Branson, Missouri. And I've never been there, but Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, I have been there many times. Many that go there, and these are where a lot of these country music shows are at. If you ever go through any of these cities, you'll see the advertisements and the buildings and all these kind of things. And they go there and listen to this garbage, and then many of them will go into their church and hear a very similar beat and rhythm, except a lot of Jesus, you know, throw it into it the next day. We've seen this. We know people. We know Christians who have recommended to us, even since we've lived here, you need to go to this show in Branson. You need to go to this one here in Pigeon Forge. These are the places you need to go. Great entertainment. Somebody gave us a video one time of one of these shows, and it was just as wicked as it could be. Sinful. He says here in verse 11, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad of the grace of God? But notice, the grace of God that does save men and women and boys and girls. Notice he said, teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The same grace that saves us teaches us also about holiness and separation. Can I get an amen? The same grace that saves us will teach us about holiness and separation. Turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. And notice here. In Romans chapter 6. I'm going to be reading here. And I'm going to give you a few other verses. One is 2 Timothy 3:5, speaking of the last days. And it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How do you know what the last words say? From such, turn away. The many that will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof, he said, from such, turn away. And Ezekiel 22 and verse 26, it says that they put Israel, as God's people, they put no difference between the holy and the profane. And in verse 30, he says, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap and could not find one. Could not find one. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 21, when Israel was in apostasy, Elijah came to them and he says, how halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. These were not a people that said, we don't believe in Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob anymore. They believed in God, but they also had a mixture of that with Baal worship. They blended the two together. And this is why I say that country music is preaching a false gospel. Dolly Parton, in an interview, she said this. She said, everybody thinks of God as a different thing. To me, God is that greater, higher energy, that greater, wiser wisdom. It is that thing in us that we all have to draw from. I've always trusted in God and trusted myself, which to me are intertwined. I'm a creative person, and what gift I have come from the divine place that I try to tap into, so who have I got to be afraid of? Let me tell you something tonight. God is not a thing in all of us. God is a person that is only in those who have been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and repented of sin. This sounds like Oprah's gospel. Now listen here tonight to some of the country music stars. And let me go ahead and read in Romans, because this is going to tie in very well. In Romans 6, verse 17 and in verse 18, I want you to notice here. He says in verse 17 and 18, now look at it carefully. I'll ask you later this week to read the entire chapter and consider the context. But he says here in verse 17, he said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have, what's the next word? Obeyed. That word, obeying the gospel, is mentioned several times. Mentioned Hebrews, mentioned the book of Acts, mentioned Romans 1, Romans chapter 16, and other places. A person cannot be saved unless they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now the chapter says a whole lot more than that. I just wanted to read those two verses. Many of the country music stars, they say they got saved, and they still play their wicked music of the past, and make money off of it. And many of them goes in bars and places and plays music. And they just add a little Jesus and a little Bible occasionally to soothe the conscience of the Christians, the supposedly Christians, that would be listening to them. Many of the country music artists, especially 20, 30, 40, and 50 years ago, grew up in church and know the language of Christianity. Many of them do. But they're not saved. I'm telling you, they're not saved. Now, before I read in our last passage this evening, I'm going to be reading in Exodus chapter 32. And that's where we're going to close at tonight. Exodus chapter 32. I want to go through a list of things with you now toward the end of this message. And I want you to think about this. One writer, one singer, a song title old enough to know better. He says, if you don't mind, I guess I'll stay here and drink. I'm old enough to know better, but I'm too young to care. Now, I just want you to listen to some of the words in some of these songs. And it's, again, it's about drinking. It's about rebellion and those kind of things. You see, if you want to know what somebody believes, go and listen to their words. Look at their music and their lifestyle, and you can find out. Let's go all the way back to the 40s and early 50s with Hank Williams. He died January the 1st, 1953, Hank Williams Sr. Let's go all the way back, and you know, he even wrote a song that Christians sing today, I Saw the Light. You know, and many Christians sing that today, and some of them sing it in honor of him. He died in the back seat of his car on the way to Ohio, to perform. Alcohol, morphine, pain drugs were a part of his life, even the night he died. Divorce, he was fired at the Grand Ole Opry due to frequent drunkenness. And he wrote a song and played it titled Rambling Man. Heard it many times years ago. Rambling Man. And when I think of Rambling Man, I think of Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Cain was a rambling man. He went out from the presence of God. And in this song, see, especially the older ones, they had to put God in this thing. And here's what he said in this song. You got to remember that him and his wife separated and all these kind of things. He's a rambling man. You hear that sound of that train, and that's you start wanting to leave, you know. Didn't stay at home. And in the song, he said, I'm a rambling man. That's the way the Lord made me. God meant this for me, and when I die, God called home a rambling man. Now, that's a lie. God didn't make anybody a rambling man. That's a lie of the devil. And a rambling man is not going to be called home to heaven because he's in rebellion against God. Hank Williams Jr., his son, gives you his belief system in his ungodly music. All you got to do is, and I don't suggest you do this, I did this for the research, but I don't suggest this. Who wants to read about whiskey and drinking and stuff like that? But that's what his music, he speaks of whiskey and smoke and fornication and cursing and speaks of being hell-bound. And in one song he says, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I'd just soon stay home. I was one of the chosen few to be born in Alabama. I'm just like my daddy's son. I'm proud of who I am. I went through a lot of good women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Hank. Heaven is nothing like Dixie. It don't even resemble it in any way. And the chances are he will not have to worry about going to heaven if he continues his life. He's went through at least 4 divorces, maybe 5. Then Hank Williams III, a country punk rock singer. Life is completely filled with drugs and alcohol and divorce also. Now think about the legacy. The legacy of a half a century, over a half a century, of Hank Williams Sr., divorce, drugs, alcohol, rebellion. Hank Williams Jr., it's intensified there, more divorce, more drugs, and more rebellion. Then you come to the grandson. He has a filthy mouth, a wicked heart, ungodly music, with much cursing in his performances. You see, the legacy has been handed down over a half a century, divorce, alcohol, drugs, and immorality. And it just intensified from one generation to the next. Don't we see something like that in the Bible that tells us that's the way it's going to be? A group called the Kendalls sing a song that says, heaven's just a sin away, speaking of immorality. George Jones, I'm quoting now from another author, he's considered the father of country music. He also recorded gospel songs. Here they are, 1959, Country Church Times. Homecoming in Heaven, 1962. We Have to Sing About Jesus, 1972. And The Gospel Way, 1974. The Gospel Collection, 2003. And then he's got a song titled Honky Tonk Myself to Death. Biggest hits, Tammy Wynette and George Jones. God's gonna get you for that, 1975, just a wicked song, a hellish song. You see the reason I call this third point the false gospel of country music? You see what they're doing? They're blending everything together. They're blending the world and Christianity together. And I'm saying that's not true Christianity. Tammy Wynette sung a song years ago, Stand By Your Man. Well, that was in 1968. She went through 5 husbands. In her lifetime, she abandoned her second husband to run off with country singer George Jones. I'm quoting now. He was a drunkard. Tammy also had a well-publicized relationship with actor Burt Reynolds in the 1970s. Her fourth marriage lasted only 6 weeks. George Jones himself has gone through four wives. I guess that song should have been titled, Stand By Your Men. Wicked stuff. Is this what we want our children listen to? Is this what we want to influence us? Rodney Atkins' song titled 15 Minutes, here's part of the song. He boasts of sin and he says, these are some of the recent artists now. And he said, I gave up smoking, women, and drinking last night and it was the worst 15 minutes of my life. That's right, never again. This stuff is praising the things out of hell. Willie Nelson released a gay country song title, Cowboys Are Frequently, Secretly Fond of Each Other, and in this he's speaking of homosexuality. I suspected that all along. And he said in a statement, he said, the timing is right for it to come out. I'm just opening the door. He also has an album titled Gospel Favorites. He's promoting sodomy, and we know what God says about sodomy. He's promoting sodomy and drunkenness and wickedness, but he's got an album titled Gospel Favorites in which he sings Family Bible and Kneel at the Feet of Jesus. Now, why do they do this? Because they know that these things will sell. You take Jesus and put this worldly beat behind it, there's stupid, ignorant Christians, if you can call them Christians, that will buy this stuff and bring it in their home, and once it's in their home after a while, it'll eventually get into the church. So they can be entertained in the church just like they are in the bar rooms and the shows on Saturday nights. Here's another quote. It says, his music has been featured in the vile homosexual TV series Brokeback Mountain. That's Willie Nelson. Oh, he's supposed to be a good old country boy, isn't he, a cowboy? He's supposed to be a good old boy, you know. Faith Hill, featured in Playboy. Her music speaks of fornication and adultery, and she appeared in a bikini in the November 2008 Shape magazine. Aiken, how you pronounce that? Anyway, he's a homosexual, and at the same time, he says that he's a very religious person. Toby Keith, in the song God Love Her, speaks of a rebellious preacher's daughter, 17 years of age, who runs away with him. And in the song, he said, just a girl born in Dixie, washed in the blood, raised on the banks of the Mississippi mud, she was baptized in dirty water. This is the filth and trash and garbage in the country music. In his album titled White Trash with Money, he speaks of drinking, adultery, lust in the songs on the album. And there's one song that he sings titled Get Drunk and Be Somebody. Oh, I want my children to hear that, don't you? I want them to grow up like that. Amen. Reba McEntire on homosexuality, she said, I just try not to judge. Don't judge me and I won't judge you. See, that's what the world says. And that's, here I'm quoting again, and that's what it says in the Bible. See, she's quoting the Bible. And she said, don't judge, keep an open mind. That would be my choice. I have gay friends. I have I have a lot of straight friends. I don't judge them. I take them for what they are. They're my friends, and I can't defend my feelings for them other than I like them. That was taken out of theboot.com. August the 19th, 2009. Eric Church, a well-known country music star today, got a song titled Sinners Like Me. And in this song, he's basically saying that he comes from a long line of sinners, speaking of his grandfather and his father, and him and his brother. And he speaks of drinking beer in this song at 15 years of age. He speaks of him and his brother sitting on his grandfather's headstone with a fifth of Jack Daniels. And then, now listen to this, in this same song, bragging about becoming from a long line of sinners, bragging about this, then toward the end of this song, he then speaks of Jesus in heaven, and I'm going to quote him. He says, on the day I die, I know where I'm going to go. Me and Jesus got that part worked out. I'll wait at the gates till his face, till his face I see and stand in a long line of sinners like me. See how this is blended together? The false gospel of country music and a country music artist. This stuff is wicked. Conway Twitty sings of infidelity with songs like I See the Want in Your Eyes, and I'm not even going to mention the rest of them. One writer said that Conway Twitty must have had a PhD in adultery. He was a dirty old man. And he sang songs also with Loretta Lynn many years ago. Taylor Swift is very popular. And her videos are very sensual, and she dresses like a whore. She's one of the very, probably one of the most famous ones in the country music now. And she was on the Ellen show, Degeneres, or some said Degenerate was her last name, I don't know. But anyway, in November 2008, spoke of her good character, Ellen's good character. And Ellen said, you know, Ellen is a sodomite, you do know that. And Ellen said, Swift is a good role model. She don't wear hardly any clothes, singing this wicked, wicked music. Now let's come to one last one, and we're going to read her verse and close. Dolly Parton, she's been around the country music industry for over 40 years. In one video, she dressed in white, and she sings, He is Risen. And in another video, she's dressed in red like a prostitute, and she sings, House of the Rising Sun, a song about prostitution. You see, again, I'm going to give you some quotes there. You see this mingling together? You know, see, Jesus is that thing, God is that thing inside of her, you see. She played a whore in the movie, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and played the part very well. And most of the time, she dresses like one even today. Her album called Backwoods Barbie contains the song Jesus and Gravity along with the songs about drinking and adultery. And her album, Halos and Horns, covers the Led Zeppelin's occult song Stairway to Heaven. And Robert Page even said and considered this a very spiritual song. Dolly Parton loves it and sings it. Also, she performed the John Lennon song Imagine on her 2005 album called Those Were the Days. And the lyrics, you know the lyrics of the song Imagine, unless you've been a Christian in church most of your life, you heard it years ago. And some of the lyrics, words in that song is, you know, can you imagine if there's no heaven and no religion and no hell? That was John Lennon's philosophy. She loves this song and sings it. But she said, I know Jesus and I know God. He's that thing inside of me. Her album, Something Special, has a song titled Speaking of the Devil, which makes light of the Bible and Christianity. And here's some of her words in the song. It says, He's got a way of walking. He's got a way of talking, a way to fascinate me all the time. And He's got a way with women. This is Dolly Parton. Dollywood, and I've been there and have repented of it, promotes herself and country music mixed with gospel music. Her pictures posted everywhere, dressed immoral. She supports sodomy along with the Dixie Chicks and others. And she said, here's what she said, God isn't the monster in the sky that I grew up with, that is the Church of God. And she says here, He's a feeling within you. This prayed November the 2nd, 1980. Well, I'll tell you again, God is not a feeling within you. God is a person, the creator of heaven and earth, the redeemer of mankind. She appeared on the cover of Playboy magazine in October 1978, issue wearing a Playboy bunny outfit complete with ears. And she received an Oscar nomination for traveling through a song wrote and sang for Trans America. We're talking about wickedness. We're talking about rebellion. The country band Big and Rich, I passed by this a moment ago, Big and Rich. I'm going to give you the title of the thing. It's a mixture of that which is hellish and even amazing grace that is mentioned here. But they sing this. They say, "Yea, I know I'm a sinner, but I've got faith. My good side is what He's going to see. When I'm standing at them pearly gates, He'll have nothing but mercy for me." And the last song on this album, they sing, "You Shook Me All Night Long" by rock and roll band AC/DC. Johnny Cash, the last one, Johnny Cash. His album 1994, and of course he said he got saved also. But his album 1994, titled American Recordings, contains the song 13, written by a band that they're Satanists. And on the album of this Satanist band, they got a picture. The logo says a picture of a demon strangling the Lord Jesus Christ while blood is coming out of his eyes. And Johnny Cash wanted to put his song and sing their song and put it on his album, American Recordings. He's singing and promoting satanic songs. And he said this, "This is what I always wanted to do, and I was able to do it with Rick." I guess that's his producer. "I think I'm more proud of it than anything I've ever done in my life. I don't think I ever worked so well with a producer in my entire life." And also Johnny Cash appeared in December 1996 on a Billy Graham Christmas special. Now I could go on, and I'm going to stop here tonight. I just read you what they believe in their heart because it was spoken with their mouth. What is in the heart comes out of the mouth. And all we got to do is look at their lifestyle. All we got to do is look at their words and look at their songs and the rhythm and the beat and the crowd that follows it. That's all we got to do is know that is rebellion and is wicked and it's out of hell. Country, no Christian has any right in the eyes of God Almighty to listen to this garbage. None whatsoever. God hates country music. He hates the country music industry. It's the devil's music. And what does Nashville have to do with the New Jerusalem? Amen? What does it have to do with it? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." I'm saying that country music is wicked. And you know, you've got people, you've got the older folks today, I guess I can throw myself into that category. They say, "I just don't understand what's wrong with the young people and their music and all this rock and this rap and all this." They laid the foundation for it. With this wicked stuff and listening to this, they laid the foundation for what we see today. Notice with me as we come to Exodus chapter 32, I'm reading one verse and we're going to close. I promise we're going to close. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, we find here, and this is when Moses come down off of the mount of the Ten Commandments. Israel is in rebellion. They're dancing, they're playing music, they're singing, and they're naked, as in verse 25, and they have made a golden calf. They're worshiping idols, and this is where Moses breaks the Ten Commandments. But anyway, Moses said in verse 26, "And Moses stood in the gates of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side?'" Underline those two words, "the Lord's side." He said, "Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi, gathered themselves together. And there's a great slaughter that took place here. You know what we need to ask people today? We need to ask them who's on the Lord's side. You can't be on both sides. You can't straddle the fence. And that's why I called it, number three, a false gospel of country music. You can't have them both. You can have one or the other. You can have Jesus Christ and His music and His holiness and His righteousness through His blood and through repentance. You can either have that or you can have this other without Jesus Christ. You can't have them both. And this is the message we need to give to the older folks or any of the younger folks today that's following country music and think, "Well, this is safe. This is innocent. You know, and I can follow this and still love Jesus and love the Bible and go to church and those kind of things. No way. Absolutely not. You cannot have them both. We will stop right here.